Some people assert that the mind is a relatively blank slate at birth, with but a few prenatal impressions on it. They say that what we call the mind is merely the learned behavior we acquire as we grow and develop. Is such a theory satisfactory? Does it take into account differences in temperament between people? Differences that have been noted even in newborn infants of the same family? Does it account for the complexity of mental behavior found in ordinary children, much less the unusual skills and aptitudes of exceptionally gifted youngsters? These are really important questions. Because the thing with nurture, again, predominantly, it's our parents' fault. You can see there's a lot of problems in our society. Nature, nurture, either way, it's the parents' fault. So nurture, it's how we were brought up, the social conditioning around us. But children within the same family, exposed to the same social conditioning, demonstrate completely different personalities. It's not an adequate argument. It's not an adequate argument for even just run-of-the-mill, completely standard people, let alone for the most unusual. And there are examples of incredibly unusual children. Obviously, we could look at Mozart, or we could look at great meditation masters who could recite pages and pages of scripture from memory when they're just when they're just toddlers. My favorite example of an unusual child is a person called Jeb Corliss, and you can look him up if you like. He's a wingsuit flyer, which is a crazy thing to be. It's one of those people that they jump off tall buildings or mountains or cliffs or whatever, and they just have little flaps under their armpits and between their legs, and they just fly. Crazy. Anyway, once some time ago, I watched a documentary, and they interview his mother, and they're asking her, like, is anyone in the family like this? Like, is anyone in the family do these high-risk activities? And like, no. You know, because for some, you know, some children are brought up in circus families where all their parents are like human cannibals or trapeze artists, and it's, you know, then it's a little bit more understandable. But they say, no, none of us are excited by danger. And then the question was, so when did he first demonstrate these kind of tendencies? And when did you first know that he was different? And she tells this story, and he's literally 18 months old. He's not even two. And she'd taken him, his mother had taken him to the local swimming pool, and he's in the toddler pool, and it's going quite well. And then he sees the diving board, like the high diving board, like the 10-meter diving board, the Olympic twirly-twirly diving board. And he's like, there. And she's like, no. And she's like, there, no. And he won't let it go. And he starts to scream, and he's making a scene, and all the other parents are looking at her, and she's like, oh. And eventually, even one of the what do you call them, lifeguards? Is that the right word? Anyway, one of those comes over to try and see what's happening. And she explains, like, he doesn't want to go up there. And I was like, and the lifeguard does something terrible, because he says, let me take him. I'll take him up. He'll see how high it is. It'll scare him. He'll want to come straight back down, and it'll all be done. Just anything to stop the scene, all this noise, all this hassle. And she's freaked out, but it's that moment, and she's like, okay. And so, you can tell where this is going. The lifeguard takes the little boy up to the top, all these flights of stairs, and he gets to the top, and he wriggles free, he runs to the end, and he jumps. A complete silence, everyone goes, and the mother like leaps in to grab him, and he comes up and he's like, again. Where does that come from? Like the parents, the family, no tendencies in that direction, no behaving in that way to model. It hasn't come from nature. it hasn't come from nurture. So where has it come from? Well, we know where it's come from because a large part of what we do is monitor our habits of mind and try to cultivate positive habits, forge new positive habits, strengthen existing positive habits, try to steadily erode, undermine, remove negative habits. So we spend a lot of our time working with habits. We know how you get a habit, how you cultivate a habit. It's repetition. If we repeatedly think and feel and act in a certain way, it becomes more natural, it gets stronger. If we hold back from an instinct, it gets weaker and weaker. That's something we can observe over time. So that little boy must have repeatedly enjoyed jumping off high things. When did he do all of that? It wasn't in the womb. It wasn't in the ICU at the hospital. It wasn't in the incubator. Where did he do that? He did that in his previous lives. And we can look at ourselves and all of our different personality traits, and we can understand, some of them we can find triggers and so forth in this life, but many, many, and certainly the deepest ones, we've carried with us from previous lives. And there's a great risk that we'll carry them with us to future lives.